Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Okay, while she's passing those out, I'm going to pray for us. So you can keep your hand up as I pray. Okay, Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you that we can gather, Lord. And I just pray you'd speak through your word, speak through whatever we do tonight, testimony, and just have your way, Lord. Just show us your heart for the world and help us to know how we can be engaged. And I pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Okay, so here on your page, we're talking about becoming a world Christian. In the first blank there, it says having a, this is a review. A lot of people were here last week, or last time I spoke on this, having a, what goes there? Global perspective on the Christian life. And here in Matthew, this is Jesus speaking. This is after he resurrected from the dead. This is called the Great Commission. It says here, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And last time we talked about the main verb in this passage is what? Make disciples. Yeah, make disciples is the main verb. And then he gives three participles in how to make disciples. First is going. We have to go to unbelievers and help them to know Christ. They say if we just meet with each other, it's not really discipleship, it's recycleship, somebody said. So we want to go to the unbelievers and help them become believers and then help them be discipled. So by going, baptizing, and third, teaching to obey. Not just teaching, but teaching to obey. There's a big difference. Okay, and then below that, it says three areas the world Christian is growing in. Do y'all remember the first one from last time? God's Word. God's Word. And the second one, God's World. And the next one, God's Work. So that's kind of where we're going, that little outline. I'm going to review. Last time, we watched a video that talked about God's heart for the nations. So we're going to go through some verses. Last time we saw where from Genesis chapter 12, God chose this guy named Abram. And he says, through you, I'm going to make you a great nation. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And as we know, through the nation of Israel, Jesus came. And so from the very beginning, it was God's plan to bless all the nations through his people. That's been his plan from the very beginning. In Isaiah 45:22, it says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. That's our God is a missionary God. And we see his heart as a father wanting all peoples to know him from this verse. Isaiah 49:6, he says, this is God speaking, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So our God is a missionary God. He longs to make us a light to the nations. And then in the New Testament, we just read Matthew 28. Jesus appeared to his disciples after he rose from the dead over a period of 40 days. And we said that the Great Commission was given not just one time, but four times. It's here in Matthew. And then in Mark 16:15, this again is after he resurrected from the dead. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Then in Luke 24, he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then in John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you. So our God is a missionary God. And then, and the next verse are Jesus' last words before he ascended to be with the Father. It's in Acts 1:8. He gives a promise. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So our God is a missionary God. He's been it from the very beginning, and he's a missionary God today. And we're the body of Christ, and we're to be, you know, his missionary people today. That's his heart. John Stott, a great theologian, said, we must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. So in light of God's word, the world Christian is going to be concerned with the needs of the world and also how we can, what's the task remaining that we need to do to reach the rest of the world, you know? So that leads us to our second point on the outline here, God's world. God's world. And I want to briefly talk about God's world. And in doing that, we're going to give a true-false test. So the first question this test is, in 8100, the worldwide ratio of unbelievers to believers was 360 to 1. Today, one of every 14 people are evangelical Christians. True or false? What do you think? Okay, the answer is true. Number two, evangelical Christianity is the fastest growing religious movement in the world. True, that's also true. There are more evangelicals in Africa than in all of North America and Europe combined. True or false? True. I think you're getting a hang on something here. Okay. Many Muslims around the world are having dreams and visions of Jesus Christ. Carly and I had dinner with a girl from the Middle East recently, and she talked about how she came to faith through a dream. So it's happening today. Number six. Did I skip one? Yeah, number four. Worldwide, the Gideons hand out 1 million scriptures every 4.5 days. Okay, now number six. In Islamic Indonesia, believers are nearing 15% of the population. That's also true. So that's amazing to think about. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. Number seven, between 85 and 95% of all believers who are serving cross-cultural goers serve in already reached areas. Sadly, this is also true. Number eight, more than 30% of the world's 6,900 languages still need a written translation of the Bible. True. And lastly, there are more than 2.9 billion people in the world who have little or no access to the gospel. That's also true. So, yeah, this was taken from a program called Explore by Steve Shadrach. So that just kind of gives you an idea of the world and the needs of the world. And before I talk a little bit more about the world, I want to tell you about this website. You can write it down underneath God's World. It's called peoplegroups.org. And it's put out by the IMB, and it gives you excellent up-to-date stats on world evangelization and where we are in this process. So I want to talk about where we are in terms of reaching the world for Christ. So the IMB has divided, it says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. The word nations there is ethne, where we get the word ethnic group. So the IMB has divided the world into 11,750 different ethnic groups. So, which equals 7.3 billion people. So, we're going to divide that further into unreached and reached. So, the reached or the no longer unreached is 4,700 people groups, which represents 42% of the population, or 3.1 billion. And then, lastly, the unreached, which represents 7,050 people groups, 7,050 people groups, and 4.2 billion, or 57% of the world's population. And this means an unreached people group is less than 2% evangelical Christians. So that means that they don't have enough people within their people group to reach themselves. They need outside help. And many of them have way less than 2%. So that kind of divides those who are already no longer unreached are greater than 2%. Like here in America, like in Indonesia, it's 15%. So hang with me. I know this is kind of boring, these stats, but it's kind of necessary for us to know. And where do most of the missionaries go? That true-false question. Most of the missionaries go to the no longer unreached area, the 42% that already have the gospel, that they can reach themselves. It's really sad that the majority of missionaries do not go to the unreached. And so we have a burden to mobilize the world to go to the unreached, where no one else is going. So next, there's two categories for unreached groups. There's unengaged and engaged unreached people groups. So the engaged yet unreached represents 54%. That means a church or an organization has targeted them. Still, many of them will live and die without ever hearing about Jesus. But at least some churches or organizations have targeted them. And then lastly, there's the unengaged unreached people groups, which represents 220 million people, or 3% of the world's population. So this, no church or no organization has targeted them at all. And that's 3,250. Most of these are smaller people groups, averaging 65,000 people. So that's kind of the state of the world and where we are. We have a lot of work to be done. So there's a map here. And it's kind of hard to see, but the green represents the reached areas. One encouraging thing is China, how there's a lot of, it's become a reached, especially in eastern China. And North America, South America, there's a lot of reached. But the yellow or orange represents the unreached. And the red, you can barely see the red. There's a lot of red in India, the Middle East. That's the unengaged, unreached people groups. Second, Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And there we see God's Father heart for the world, and he longs for all these people, all these cities where there's no church. His heart is for them to come to know him, and he's calling us to be a part of that. So one thing that really stood out to me in thinking about the world is Europe. Most of Europe is now considered an unreached people group. As it said, there's more, you know, Christians in Africa, you know, today than all of Europe and North America. And it's amazing to think about. And look at the map here. Most of Europe is in the orange area. And I was just shocked in looking at the stats. In Slovenia, there's 0.1% evangelical Christian. Poland, 0.3% evangelical Christian. Austria, 0.5%. France, 1%. So France has become an unreached people group. It's amazing to think about. So in light of God's word and in light of God's world and the needs of the world Christian is going to seek to be engaged in God's work. And that's the third point on our sheet, God's work. So in light of the word and what God said, and this whole deal about the world and the needs of the world, the backbone of all that we do must be God's word. You know, that what God thinks about the world and what he says about the world and going to make disciples of all the world, this has to be the backbone of why we go. Because our compassion is going to come and go. You know, we can't depend on our compassion. We should have compassion, yeah, but that's going to come and go. The backbone is this. And Jesus says, "He who has my command and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him." So if we really love God, we're going to obey his word and go and make disciples of all the nations, no matter how we feel. Often we don't feel like showing hospitality and sharing the gospel. We feel fearful. We feel like we're going to upset the relationship. But we go because we love God and we want to obey God. So we're going to look at quickly how we can engage in God's work. And there's five habits of the world Christian that we're going to talk about here. First, you can write this under the third point there if there's room. First, prayer. And I want to encourage you to think about world events. As you hear about world events, pray. Don't just read the news, you know, flippantly. As you read the newspaper, watch the news, or hear news, pray about those. You can write down a website called the Joshua Project, and you can get this as an app on your phone, and they'll send you an unreached people group every day that you can pray for. That's one way that you can pray. You can pray for missionaries that you know that are serving overseas. Secondly, going. And I would encourage you, if you've never gone, to go on a short-term trip. It'll change your life. Recently, we had some people go to Cuba, and there'll be other opportunities in the future. Next, giving. A lot of people give to Lottie Moon. A lot of people are going on short-term trips this summer that you can give to. IMB has a great human needs website that you can see, like the Syrian refugee crisis, things like that. One thing I really like about giving through the Human Needs Project is that 100% of it goes to the people in need, because the missionaries give it out, and they give it out in context of the gospel and sharing the gospel and seeking to plant churches. So that's a great way to give. And then fourth, welcoming. And that's where it comes to refugees and international students that God has brought right here. And I really feel that, you know, we haven't been as obedient as we should as a church in going. So God is bringing the nations to us. And we have a unique opportunity right here in at the University of Florida in Santa Fe to really make an impact in the world through who he has brought right here to our own backyard. And next is mobilizing. So as you learn and grow as a world Christian, we're to mobilize and help others be world Christians. We're to mobilize. And I kind of want to camp out on number four because we work with internationals and that's kind of our heart. And I want to talk about God's heart for welcoming that we should be involved in. Okay, what do these guys have in common? Benjamin Netanyahu, the guy on the top left, Kim Jong-un, Kofi Annan was former Secretary General of the United Nations from Ghana. And the guys on the right, is the one on the right is from Iran, the president of Iran. The guy on the left is from Oman. All these guys, world leaders, were international students. And so the guy in the yellow robe from Oman, he was welcomed by a British in England. He was a student there, and he was welcomed by a British Christian into his home, and he just had a genuine friendship and loved this guy. And today, that guy's not a Christian, but he's really open to Christianity, and he's even given oil companies land to build churches. And Oman is one of the most open countries toward Christianity than all the Middle East and other countries. So, you know, all the future leaders of the world, you know, or most of the future leaders of the world will be international students. Currently in the world today, 40% of current leaders were once international students. So not only in politics, but, you know, there's world leaders, you know, in education, in music, in medicine, in engineering. I mean, all the world leaders are coming as international students, and we have a unique opportunity to impact them with the gospel. It says in Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. So we're not to neglect showing hospitality. And in Romans 12, it says we're to be practicing hospitality. And then 1 Peter 4:9, we're to be hospitable to one another without complaint. And notice there's two warnings here. I have them underlined here. First is we're not to neglect showing hospitality. And secondly, we're not to complain as we show hospitality. So I just challenge you, you know, show hospitality where you live to your neighbors. When's the last time you had your neighbor over? You know, that's the first thing Jesus says in making disciples is going, you know, and going and inviting, welcoming. So, you know, show hospitality, not only to your neighbors, but also to strangers, to internationals that God has brought here. Okay, lastly, turn your note sheet over if you're taking notes, and I want you to draw a little line. We're going to have a little, yeah, so draw a little line there, and then under the first part, write C in WC, and then under WC is God's Word. What's the second one? God's World and God's Work. Okay, so from there, I want you to place an X if this was a continuum. So C is Christian and WC is world Christian. So as a world Christian, you know, we're to be involved in growing in God's Word, God's world, and God's work. So where would you place an X if this were your life in terms of being a world Christian or just being, you know, not involved in these things at all? So just place an X on that little line. If you're not taking notes, just do it in your mind. And I think you could probably agree with me. God would want all of us to be world Christians. You know, our God's a missionary God, and he wants to shake, rattle in the world through us, you know, through us. And then lastly, there's another part of this line here. It goes out to the right. It's M is the next little thing there, and that's mobilizer. So a mobilizer is able to help a new believer or a Christian who knows nothing about the world, you know, learn in God's Word and what God's Word says about it, God's world and things we talked about tonight and how they can be engaged. And they're able to take that Christian and help them become a world Christian. And so we need more mobilizers. So, okay, and so lastly, these are just some ways to grow. The last slide, and you know, memorize verses, do Bible studies on God's heart for the nations. We mentioned ways to pray, read missionary biographies, go on short-term trips, talk to me about how you can be involved in hosting internationals, helping lead an English conversation group or a Bible study. We currently have about 10 Bible studies going on. We have friendship groups going on. We have approximately 200 international students involved on a monthly basis and about 100 volunteers from 11 different churches. So that's kind of gives you an idea of what we have going on right now. But there's 7,000 internationals here, so we need thousands of more volunteers. I mean, we're not doing anything compared to the need. So I just want to close this in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.